hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
If you guys have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the first suddenly that I think is going to be the catalyst for us this morning. There's so many suddenlies in the Bible. One of them was just mentioned today. I love what Paul was saying, like the Moses and seeing God incarnate into this fiery bush, and there's a suddenly just in that context, in that encounter. But we're going to look at the one in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I've already started, telling our pre-service prayer people exactly what's going to happen today. So I'll let you guys know, begin with the end in mind. My end result today is I'm going to talk a little bit, like this much, and then I'm going to do a whole chunk of ministry. My goal today is every single one of you receiving prayer and blessing before you leave the building. Sometimes people are like, look, I got to go to work. I get that. So you're going to come right to the front of the line. But in my mind's eye, I talk to our children's workers, they're going to be praying for the kids simultaneously. Every single one of you will have a moment where God will suddenly move in power in your life. Amen? So that's the beginning of the end of mind. So let me just set up the scene. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 13, if you have your Bibles. And I'm going to use the NIV. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Sometimes, pastors just kind of minimalize the moment. There was just an upper room and some guys huddled in the corner waiting. But if you actually look at the scripture, it's not. It's the sound of a like of a blowing wind. It's not just a blowing of wind. I've been on New Zealand for 9 months. I know what wind sounds like. It's like, whoo. And in my house, because I have such a vented house, I have, whoo. It's not like that. One theologian said, it is, and this is the word, it says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violin. So the reality is, this guy said, it's like being the sound of a tornado. And a tornado can sound like 100 freight trains coming at you. That's a scary sound. Because folks, the Holy Spirit is supposed to be scary. It's supposed to be like not something that you'd recognize going, whew. Oh, yeah, it's totally the Holy Spirit, right? No. It should be like quaking in your boots, terrified, scared. And notice what it says. And it filled the whole house. Amen? Not just the upper room, not in areas where they were wanting to contain the spirits. No. The Holy Spirit came like 100 freight trains, and a sound of a tornado ripped through the entire house, the basement, the main floor, the bathroom, the upstairs, the nook and the cranny. And I believe in the name of Jesus that God's Holy Spirit is going to move suddenly, not only in this building, but in the entire building. Yes. Amen. So from the creche to the cafe to the basement, whatever kind of ministries that we do, everything that we have, all the resources that we have, everything is now going to be touched by the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get stolen keyboard. No, it's not going to happen because the Spirit of God is now resting on everything. All the musicians are like, amen. But that's the thing. That's what happened is the Spirit of God is filling the house. And then they said this. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest upon them, on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Nah, it's not literal fire, because sometimes people think, oh, it's a fire baptism. It's not. That's a judgment thing. What it is it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The symbol is fire, but there's so many other symbols of the Holy Spirit, like oil. And the image that I have is being poured, and then all of a sudden, you know, when you start seeing these is it TikTok, Mikayla, where they that one TikTok where the guy pours the water and it pours and it overflows and everyone starts to react in the room. Have you seen that? Do you know? Is that the one I'm thinking about? No, she doesn't know. There's like these videos where they're in a room and they just pour water until it comes up and then it pours over and it's just spilling all over the floor. And then the family members are like, "What is wrong with you?" Like, and sometimes it's the worst thing. It's milk, you know, like glug, 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 glug. And then the moms are like, "Whoa, what are you doing?" And they're just glug, 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 glug. I believe that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. Amen. Just because a lot of times we think we just want to be capped off. No. I think the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's like, no, I'm going to pour and it's going to get messy. There's going to be Spirit all over the floor. It's going to be an excessive thing. But wait a second. I don't like it when we see excess. I don't want things being wasted. Well, that's exactly what Judas felt about the woman breaking open that alabaster jar and pouring this expensive nard perfume on Christ's feet. And Jesus said, she's just doing this as a part of worship. This has to happen. What if I said the Holy Spirit has to pour heavily into this room like that rain and we're going to have flooding and the Spirit's just going to be excessive and all of us, would none of us in this room go, well, it's a little messy, John. Now who's going to clean it up? He will. He's going to cover all of it. And they began to speak in other languages. Now, verse 5, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. Some versions say in amazement, because one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus from Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Content plus context equals meaning. Aphno. Aphno is the Greek word for suddenly. It actually comes from a root word called aphanes, which means it is not yet manifest. So really, the definition is that this is a mystery. This suddenly is not yet apparent. It hasn't showed up. It's not manifest yet. Not only is it unaware, but it's all of a sudden, but it's also something that has not shown up. It's like if something hasn't, something's in the way. Maybe there's something in the way in your life that you haven't seen God manifest yet. Big thing, one of the big dividing factors is sin. John, don't talk to me about sin every week with you. Every week, it's sin, sin, sin. But I'm telling you, it's sin that is causing the rift, the chasm, the canyon between you experiencing and encounter Jesus like never before. That's why he's using the whole house narrative. Because we're wanting to contain our spirituality just to that one upper room. God, you're good here. Like I'm such a great Sunday Christian on Sundays at 10 a.m. to 12. I love it. Oh, praise him. But not Friday night. You don't get to touch Friday night. I get to go hang out with my mates, drive around, drink in the back of the car, whatever it is. You have something that you haven't given to God. God demonstrates this often in the Bible. God suddenly shows up. God suddenly appears. He suddenly heals. He suddenly works in unbelievable miracles. Amen? Here's the question. Do you believe in that? Nod your head if you believe that God shows up, God appears, God heals, God works in miracles. Yes. Amen. Amen. Context. Pentecost is the Greek word Pentecostos. It means 50. In the 50th day after the Sabbath, a Passover week, in Judaism it's called the Feast of the Weeks. This is such an important festival. Many people, especially men from all over the region, all over the continent, would make this pilgrimage. That's why all those men from different nations, all those people were there. Many made this pilgrimage due to the time of the year. Other pilgrimages during like Passover and Tabernacles, the weather was especially so bad that they couldn't make the trip. But this one, this was like in the best time to travel. That's why you have so many nations. And here we are, we find the disciples waiting in the upper room. This sound of tornado. It's interesting how we are communicative beings. I was talking to our leadership team this week. We had a bit of a retreat. And I said, something with me, I have attention deficit hyperactive disorder. And for me, if you just say, oh, I sent you an email, yeah, that's good, but I need more. As a learner, I need visual, I need to hear it, I need to experience, I need to see it, I need to be in it. Notice how important this Pentecost moment is for God, that he uses both gates, both senses, both visual and hearing. That's how important communication had to be clear on what was happening. The violence of the wind is something that you're hearing and you're seeing, you're experiencing. And then tongues of fire. God was very clear. He did not want this refabricated by man. This was a once-in-a-lifetime moment. Can we recreate Pentecost? No, and nor should we. Because God is a God of creation. God is creating something new even now this morning. Will we have a Pentecost moment? Or if I start seeing people put lighters on their head going, it's happening again. No, it's not. I don't want Pentecost like that again. See, the enemy is on a limited budget, but God is unlimited. And he's going to give us our own Pentecostal moment this morning. Amen? Amen. Still five people. We'll get there. Okay. Here's my application for us. Number one, if you're taking notes, is God is ready. God is ready. We see this when Jesus is meeting the disciples and challenging them to ministry. If you guys have your Bibles, I'm going to read this text, though. It's John 14, 12 to 27. Sorry, Josh, I forgot to give you this verse. John 14, 12 to 27. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do what? Even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. That's a promise from Jesus. Are you believing in Christ this morning, church? Do you believe that this is the text, that you'll do greater things than these? Verse 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, including parking spaces. I will do it. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Jesus, in verse 23, says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and they will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you will hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But verse 26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. And I do not give you as the world gives, is what Nathan was preaching on the other day. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Amen? Our God is ready. He's ready and he's preparing the Holy Spirit to be an advocate for you. This Trinitarian God that we love and serve, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are connected all in this passage. If you come up to me and like, oh, I don't believe in the Trinity, this is the passage you read. Constantly, Jesus says, Father, me, Holy Spirit, Spirit, me, Father, and you. You get it all. It's a free gift, this Trinitarian God. And at the time of the Pentecost, we see that the Holy Spirit, as a promise, the person of the Holy Spirit, to be always with you and to be in you. It is such a troubling and fearful time today. The Holy Spirit will counsel us. He will advocate for us. The Holy Spirit will enable us to do and say miraculous things. In prayer time this morning, I had this image. This image of an icebreaker. I'm in Canada, we have the Arctic. And we have these special ships called icebreakers. Their hull is fortified so they can break through really thick ice. You ever see, Google it. Watch the videos of these icebreakers. Any ship would just be torn apart. But these ships have massive engines, and they can tear through ice this thick. And it's amazing because what you see is where people, it's been solid like rock, and this icebreaker just plows right through it. And then you see in behind it's this destruction, thick, massive, like jagged-edged rock, like almost rock-like icebergs. But then underneath is this crystal blue water. And I believe that that's what the Holy Spirit is doing this morning. He is wanting right here, right now, in you, he's ice breaking through that sin. He's ice breaking through those character issues. He's ice breaking through the hard hearts. And just as he's doing that, the Holy Spirit is now filling and Holy Spirit is moving, empowering. Do you believe that this morning? God is the captain of that ship. And to trust him. And the thing about those icebreakers, they're not fast. So if you're feeling like, oh man, all my ice is breaking up right now, it takes a slow time. But when it comes through, watch out. It's going to break. And that's something that Karen was praying with our leadership team the other day, is not only God of the suddenlies, but God of breakthrough. We need a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Some of us have seen that ice and it hasn't budged for decades till today. Till today. And God, that icebreaker, he's going to just jigga, 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 jigga. The enemy's got nowhere to go. Number two, if you're taking notes, not only God was ready, but they were ready, but some were not. The apostles came out speaking in foreign tongues. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, you're speaking the wondrous things about God in my language. Hey, I don't know. No one told me that anyone from my neighbor is going to be here. Hey, how do you know my language? And people were bewildered and amazed. But some were not. Some were like, well, what about, they're just a bunch of filthy Galileans. Back then, people had a prejudice towards Galileans. Galileans were like kind of these no good for nothing people. All they do is fish. Oh, they're just those Galileans. Blue-collar, tradey Galileans. So immediately, because of the vehicle that God was using, the people already were like, God can't use that. God would use more intellectual people. God would use true Jews. And they started to shut it down. That's just how we need to be not. We cannot judge what the move of God is. We don't look at someone saying, oh, God's not going to use that person. Who are we? Who says that? And when he does, we respond. Not like the disciples, they're not perfect either. Because the last time they had a move of God or something powerful happened, they ran at Calvary. None of them stuck around at the cross. But God chooses to use these same men regardless of their past. And I would say this morning to you, God is choosing to use you regardless of your past. He doesn't care if you're a Galilean or if you're a man or a female or if you're Maori or if you're Pakeha or whatever it is. God doesn't care. He's going to use you. Amen? We're getting there. Four more people. And last, are you ready? Regardless of your past, regardless of your knowledge, regardless of your piety and your works, God wants to suddenly open up something in your life this morning. God wants to manifest his presence here like never before. I'll tell you, folks, I was standing here, I started crying. There's a moment where I saw the team worshiping God and I saw kids running around and playing. I started seeing just people from every generation, every different ethnicity, just worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I saw a spiritually and emotionally healthy church. And as a pastor, I just started to cry. Because I did nothing. I feel like I did nothing to deserve this. But I believe that God wants to take us to a whole nother level.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.